السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الملأ الذين كفروا من قومه: إنا لنراك في سفاهة وإنا لظنك من الكاذبين. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
This is a recap. Yesterday we were discussing about the great civilization of Ad, and I mentioned their might. وَزَادَكُمْ فِي الْخَلْقِ بَصْطَةً. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them great strength. And to genuinely understand that, because we might like to equate it to maybe someone we know or someone we know of, or maybe we don't know the person, but we know, mashallah, there are very strong people in this world even today. And we'd like to think that, okay, maybe they were all at that level of strength, you know? But the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them, He says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ إِلَى مَذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. Iram, I said, it's a place. That al-imad means lofty pillars. Now, Allahu A'lam, there could be many interpretations of this. One could be referring to their cities. They had very tall structures, hence lofty pillars. It could also refer to them, their structure, their stature rather. But even if we don't take that, we say it means lofty pillars. التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد. That verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have not created anyone like them anywhere else. So meaning, they genuinely had superhuman strength. They were very powerful individuals. So I just wanted to say that, and I didn't get to say the history. So very quickly, we're going to go over, and we know the end result of any nation that is very arrogant and very prideful, and even a nation that thinks it's above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their end is always in destruction. But before we go through that, I wanted to follow that same pattern that I followed with the pattern of Nuh alayhi salam. We won't need a lot of explanation, as we've already gone through some of them. And that is the objections that they came to with Hud alayhi salam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, one of the first things that we read, فَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Again, I want to highlight one thing again. فَقَالَ الْمَلَأَ. If you remember what I said about الْمَلَأَ, who they are, and why are they always the ones that are objecting? It's very, very important we understand that even if we find ourselves amongst مَلَأَ, that we are not like these type of مَلَأَ. It has not to say that the wealthy, the people of high status in society, the well-respected, or bad people by default. But it also means that they are the ones that are more inclined to this type of behavior. And that's just natural, that's just understood. Because with power, with money, comes arrogance. And arrogance makes you think you're better than everyone else. So this is exactly what they did to Hud alayhi salam. They said to Hud alayhi salam, Inna lanaraka fi safaha. They said to a prophet of Allah, we think you are a fool. إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي سَفَاهَةٍ. We think you are a fool. وَإِنَّا لَنَظُنُّكَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And we think you're from amongst the liars. Now, how often, and this is a lesson, right? We want to derive lessons, right? Do we want to emulate the Anbiya alayhi wassalam? How can we emulate them in this regard? Maybe someone won't call you a fool because you're preaching to them deen. But maybe somebody's just upset with you. They don't like you. Whatever it may be, wherever you may be. But someone calls you an idiot. You're dumb. You're stupid. You fool. You think you know anything? How is our reaction? Are we behaving to a similar way that the Anbiya behaved? How they responded? Or is our behavior in anger, in frustration? How dare you? Who do you think you are? Do you know who you're talking to? I mean, Huda alayhi salam could have really said that. Do you know who I am? I'm the Prophet of Allah. Do you know who I am? I'm the Prophet of Allah. He simply says, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَيْسَ بِي سَفَاهَا. Very simple. I am no fool. That's it. I'm not getting angry. In a very calm demeanor, I am no fool. I am just a messenger. وَلَكِنِّي رَسُولٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And this is something we need to have, and that is have that self-control when someone comes to you and they're very upset with you, whether you are in the right or not. We must emulate the way the Anbiya alayhi wasalam emulated, because ultimately, if it's someone coming to you because you're trying to tell them something good for them, then your ultimate goal is to what? And this is how the Anbiya alayhi wasalam were universal. Their ultimate goal wasn't to put their name up. They didn't care about their name. It wasn't that you looked at them and you gave them respect and you stood up for them and you sat down when they told you. They didn't care for any of that. What was their ultimate goal? Saving you. That's all they cared about. They only cared about saving you. In the process of all of that, if you didn't feel like giving them the respect that they deserve for being a prophet, they didn't care. All they wanted to do was to save you. So if you find yourself in a similar situation where you're trying to help someone, and I'm really being honest, like let's say there's a child, there's a student, come on. There's some sitting in front of me. The subhanAllah, you know, I remember. They know, they're smiling, he knows. You just shrug your head and you say, okay, you'll understand one day. You understand. Because the ultimate goal is to teach. So this is how Huda alayhi salam responded to them. And it is the case wherever you go, that even in the era of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you have people who follow the deen, who practice the deen, and sometimes people look at them and say, they don't know what they're doing, you know, they sit in the masjid all day. I say this over and over, because there's a reason. There are people that do this all the time, and they're amongst the Muslims. It's not the non-Muslims that are coming out. You know, subhanAllah, I remember I was in the streets of Atlanta, and I was going to the university. I was wearing my white thobe. It was a non-Muslim that came to me and said, man, you look like an angel. But I swear to you, it'll be the Muslims, when I enter the college, they'll be like 30 feet away from me. I don't want to be near him. He looks like a Muslim, and I'm a Muslim, but he looks like a different type of Muslim. Let me give you a practical example. When I go to the airport, I don't wear any mask, but I wear my thobe. It's just how I feel comfortable. You don't have to. Nobody's telling you to do it. You see people that are just, Muslims would be like, I want to stay 500 feet away. I don't want to be near him. It's our own people. I'm being honest. It's our own people. So this is why the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran about the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in. When they were told, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا, they said, آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. Should we believe like the foolish have believed? They looked at the Sahaba and they said, they're fools. They don't know what they're doing. They're sitting in the masjid listening to this man telling them about Allah and only one Allah. They don't know what they're doing. This is the way of people all the time. This is how people treat the people of deen. They think that they're fools because they think they're intellectually smarter than them. So don't be from amongst them. And some other objections, I just want to list them, we've already discussed them. They said to Huda alayhi salam, you are but a man. يَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُونَ. You eat just like we eat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 2 days ago, we read a verse in which it was a very general statement. قَالَتْ لَهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ إِنْ نَحْنُ إِلَّا بَشْرًا مِثْلُكُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَمُنُّ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And this was a universal response to all the messengers. You're right. We are humans like you. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His rahmah upon whomsoever He wishes. Right? وَيَجْعَلُ الرِّسَالَةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places risala, and He knows wherever He places it. If He gives someone prophethood, He knows they were the ones that are worthy of getting prophethood. Another thing that they went against Huda alayhi salam was they rejected resurrection. They said, إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا. This is it. This is just worldly life. Then we're going to die, and we're going to turn into dirt. That's it. That's the end of our life. They also had a very stubborn behavior. And this, unfortunately, is still prevalent today. And that is, you will find many people, the groups that rejected Islam. You'll find in Quran all the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, like Ibrahim alayhi salam story will come, قَالُوا وَجَدَنَا أَبَاءَنَا لَهَا عَابِدِينَ. It's universal. They'll say this, our forefathers used to do this. And they'll reject anything their forefathers used to do. Their forefathers didn't do it, they reject it. Even today, you have people, we call it cultural practices. Whether it's in religious events like marriage or death, I know people who are adamant that no matter what happens, they have to do this in nikah. They have to do this to the Quran. They don't know why, but my forefathers did it. Everybody's been doing it till now, so we have to continue doing it. And if you try to teach them that, look, it's nothing to do with deen. It has nothing to do with deen. I can't do it. Look, my father did it to me, my mother did it with me, my forefather did it, my uncle did it, my cousin did it. It's the same thing. They were the same way. We don't want to do anything our forefathers didn't want to do. And similarly today, you have people who won't do anything that goes against what their cultural practices are. So now Hud alayhi salam, he tries to respond in two ways. We're going to try to go this very quickly. We don't want to drag on Hud alayhi salam's story for too long. He tries in a couple ways to teach people. And it's very important that we understand the different methods of teaching. The first way he does is he reminds them of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, when you have a person who is well off, but you see a sense of pride in him, right? He has money, but he has a lot of pride. He has a lot of skills, but he has a lot of pride. If you go at him directly, he's not going to respond to you. He's going to think you're a nobody, and he's going to reject you. So Hud alayhi salam understands who these people are, what they think of themselves. So the first thing he does is, he's not saying just that I'm just a messenger of Allah, follow me. He says, and this is what we talked about yesterday, meaning, look at your wealth, look at your power. He says, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you so much strength. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you that. And we mentioned many of those different favors before, yesterday. So Hud alayhi salam, after reminding him of these favors, he wants to be very compassionate. He says, oh my people, istaghfiru rabbakum. Ya qawm istaghfiru rabbakum. Thumma tubu ilayh. Yursil as-samaa'a alaykum midrara. Seek forgiveness. Do tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send rain down for you. وَيَزِدَكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase your strength. Allah will give you more if you're appreciative. لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. So he's just trying to tell them, be appreciative of what you have. And I mentioned this many times in my lectures. What is kufr? Kufr is rejection of a favor. Kufr is rejection of Allah's favors. And what's the highest level of kufr? Rejection of Allah's existence. That's why a kafir is called a kafir. It literally means one who rejects favors. And a person who doesn't believe in Allah rejects the favors of his Rabb. So when he's telling them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you this, do tawbah, do istighfar, meaning we believe that they were idol worshippers, so they were kufr, they were kafir. But by being grateful to Allah, you come into the fold of Islam. And that's why he's saying, if you do these things, if you do tawbah and you seek forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you so much. But here's what happens. People who have so much arrogance in their heart, they look at what you're saying, and they say, this is a weak man talking. He can't do anything. Allah will do this, and Allah will do that, and Allah will send the punishment. He can't do nothing to us. Compassion sometimes is looked on upon as weakness. Compassion, sometimes people look at it as a sign of weakness. So they say to Hud alayhi salam, that, you know, قَالُوا يَا هُودُ مَا جِئْتَنَا بِبَيِّنَا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَارِكِ آلِهَتِنَا لِقَوْلِكَ وَمَا نَحْنُ لَكَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ إِنْ نَقُولُ إِلَّا اعْتَرَاكَ بَعْضُ آلِهَتِنَا بِسُوءٍ. In another place they say, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ إِفْتَرَىٰ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا وَمَا نَحْنُ لَهُ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. And they think, they're like, you haven't brought anything to us. You haven't convinced us of anything. This is just you saying, do this, do that. It means nothing to us. Okay. Now Buddha listens, like, okay, that's what you think. Buddha listens, says to them, قَدَ وَقَعَ عَلَيْكُمْ رِجْسٌ وَغَدَرٌ. They made objection to Buddha alayhi salam that we only listen to what our forefathers say. So Buddha alayhi salam is like, okay, you know what? Your forefathers, they're just idols you guys made up, these names that you and your forefathers made up. You guys have made up these names. Now I'm going to tell you something. You know what? Since you don't want to listen to me, you don't want to learn from me, قَدَ وَقَعَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ رِجْسٌ وَغَدَرٌ. The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now upon you. He didn't just stop there. Huda alayhi salam, now he makes it very clear. قَالَ إِنِّي وَشْهِدُ اللَّهَ وَشْهَدُوا أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ مِنْ دُونِي. He makes it very clear. I am free from that which you associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making it very clear. I'm free from that which you associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says something with great strength. فَقِيدُونِي جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ لَا تُنْدِرُونَ. I want you to depict this image. Here is a man. He's not extremely well off. He's not the strongest amongst them. He's not talking to a bunch of Bedouins. He's not talking to a civilization that lives in the, you know, a group of people that are still in the outskirts of a city. They don't have much. He's talking to a group of people who are extremely mighty. He's talking to a group of people who are extremely well off. They are extremely powerful. And you know what he says to their face? He says, فَقِيدُونِي. Plot against me. جَمِيعًا. All of you. ثُمَّ لَا تُنْذِرُونَ. And then don't even give me any time to prepare for it. Meaning, excuse my language, sometimes people say, bring it. Bring it. I'll talk, right? You guys say all this to me. You don't believe in me. I'm this. I'm crazy. I'm a fool. I'm this. You keep saying that, right? Bring it. You mistook my compassion as weakness. I'm not afraid of you. Why is he afraid of them? He says, Inni tawakkaltu ala Allahi Rabbi wa Rabbikum. I trust my Lord. Who I trust Allah, who is my Lord and your Lord. And then he says, know this, who is my Lord? مَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. بِنَاصِيَتِهَا is your forehead. He says, my Lord is such a Lord that he has every animal by the forelocks. By the horn right here. Meaning if someone wants to come at you like a child, and you know, you just go like this and you hold them. They can't do anything. Because everything is controlled right here. This is how my Lord is. He has control over everything. I'm not afraid of you. I've given you the message. I've done my part. If you don't want to listen, then I trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, of course, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to descend. And I want to go over it very quickly so we can go over Huda alayhi salam's story. I know I'm taking a few more minutes of your time. But very quickly, what happens to them? They lived in the mountains, and I'm going to go very quickly. There's a lot I had typed up, but I won't say all of it. They lived in the mountains, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for, I believe it was 7 days and 8 nights, or 8 nights and 7 days, something like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a very strong wind against them. Strong wind. It was such a strong wind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when describing it, كَعَجَازِ نَخْلِ الْخَوِيَةِ or something to this effect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that the wind was so powerful and it was causing so much havoc that, you know, when you see like a hurricane come by or even a tornado come by and it just like uproots the tree and starts to throw everything everywhere and starts causing a lot of destruction, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them. We're talking about buildings. I'm talking about them. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them. So very briefly, very quickly, what ended up happening was a strong wind comes. Now, if you understand, wind can create a lot of sound. So when they're in the mountains, and the sound is bouncing off the walls, can you imagine how loud that is? It's so amplified in that, you know, in a room when there's people who like to sing or something, they like a room with an echo. Bigger, you know, the rooms, some are designed to echo a lot. So just imagine how much that sound is just bouncing off the walls. It was so loud, and it was so much for them, that they would come out of their mountains because they couldn't take it, and then the wind would pick them up and throw them around. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with them. I just want to say one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this in Surah Haqqa. And he says, Ad was like this, Ad was like that. I want you to replace Ad with any great nation that has transgressed against his Lord. Great nations have come, and great nations have passed. After describing Ad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says one thing. Is anything remaining? Does anything remain? Do you see anything from them? Nothing remains. They thought they were bigger and stronger and mightier than Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with one punishment, wiped them all out. And Allah says, La yulaa illa masakinahum. The only thing you see remaining is their abodes. So to any person, or any nation, or any group that thinks they are superior to Allah, eventually they will also be said about them.